Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing a reading from the 24th chapter of the 5th canto, which is entitled The Subterranean Heavenly Planets. And today's text is 30, and there's one other text to finish the chapter that does not have a purport, I think. Let's see. Yeah, so we'll just read that one also and finish the chapter. All right, text 30, and we're still in the Sanskrit prose. This lamp is a little inconvenient. It's too low. It needs to be higher. Can't really see. Okay, tato dashta drasatale daiteya dhanava panayo nama nivata kavachaha kalaya hiranya puravasina iti vibuddha patyanika upatya mahayaso mahaujaso maha sahasino bhagavatak sakala lokanubhavasya harer eva tejasa pratihata Balavalepa Bileshaya Eva Vasanti Evai Sarmayendra Dutya Vagbhir Mantra Varnabhir Indra Bibhyati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Beneath Mahatala is the planetary system known as Rasatala. Everybody know that. It's Rasatala, not Rasatala. Rasatala, which is the abode of the demoniac sons of Diti and Danu. They are called Panis, Nivata Kavachas, Kalayas, and Hiranya Purvasis, those living in Hiranyapura. Sri Shukini Dwarkana Ki Jai. They are all enemies of the demigods. Maybe somebody can open that side door. It's a little bit close in here, as they would say in British English. A little warm. They are all enemies of the demigods, and they reside in holes like snakes. From birth, they are extremely powerful and cruel. And although they are proud of their strength, they are always defeated by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who rules all the planetary systems. When a female messenger from Indra named Charama chants a particular curse, the serpentine demons of Mahatala become very afraid of Indra. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It is said that there was a great fight between the serpentine demons and Indra, the king of heaven. When the defeated demons met the female messengers, Sarama, who was chanting a mantra, they became afraid, and therefore they are living in a planet called Rasatala. All right, so then I'll just read the last verse of the chapter.
Tato dastat patale nagaloka patayo vasuki Parmukha, Shanka Kulika, Mahashanka, Shweta, Dananjaya, Ritarasra, Shankachura, Kambalasvatara, Deva Dattadayo, Maha Pagano, Mahamarsha, Nivasanti, Yesham Uha Vai Pancha, Sapta, Dashasuta, Sahasra, Shirshanam, Panasu, Virachita Maha Manayo Rochishnavaha Patala Vivara Timira Nikaram Sarochisha Viramanti.
Translation. Beneath Rasatala is another planetary system known as Patala or Nagaloka, where there are many demoniac serpents. The masters of Nagaloka, such as Shanka, Kulika, Mahashanka, Shweta, Dananjaya, Dhritarashtra, Shankachuda, Kambala, Ashvatara, and Devadatta. The chief among them is Vasuki. They are all extremely angry, and they have many, many hoods. Some snakes, 5 hoods, some 7, some 10, others 100, and others 1,000. These hoods are bedecked with valuable gems, and the light emanating from the gems illuminates the entire planetary system of Bila Swarga. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 24th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Subterranean Heavenly Planets. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshtarani Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtang Shtapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadatikam Vande Hong Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada and Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpaturubhyasya Kripa Sunubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So many times Srila Prabhupada would recite this verse Dvau Bhuta Sargaloge Smin Deva Asura Evacha Vishnu Bhakti Bhave Dhaiva Asura Yadva Paryaya. That throughout the universe there are only two kinds of personalities. Dvau Bhuta Sargaloke, everywhere, Asmin. Deva, Asura. Only those two types of personalities. The Devas and the Asuras. And so how do we identify who's Deva, who's Asura? Vishnu Bhakti Bhavedhaiva. If you are a Bhakta or trying to be a Bhakta, devotee of Lord Vishnu, Krishna, then you are a Deva. And Asura Yadvaparyaya. And just the opposite. If you're not interested in becoming a devotee of Lord Krishna, then you're the demon, Asura. Very simple formula. So, it is also stated that in different ages, the demigods reside on their own planets, the demons on their own planets, Devas and Asuras. Then, as time changes, they reside on the same planet. Then, as time goes on, they're born in the same family, and in Kali Yuga, they're born in the same body. In other words, as living entities, conditioned souls, we exhibit both of these tendencies, demoniac tendencies and divine or godly tendencies. So the process of Krishna consciousness means to purify our consciousness so that we get rid of the demoniac tendencies and amplify the godly tendencies. Krishna devotes the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita to explaining to Arjuna what are the differences, what are the divine qualities and what are the demoniac qualities. So we have to know these things. If we want to be able to identify the demoniac qualities in ourselves, we have to know what they are. If you don't know what they are, it's just like explain that the bhakti lata is given by the spiritual master by the mercy of Krishna. We meet Guru and we get this bhakti lata bija. Now you plant that seed in your heart, but if you don't know how to recognize the seed different from the weeds that are already there, then when you're going along, you're actually watering the weeds and watering the bhakti lata and things become choked up. To be a good gardener, one has to know what is a weed and what is a desirable plant. You have to know how to extract the weeds properly. Some weeds, they don't go away so easily. Some weeds, you see them and you just go like that and you get the top part, but the roots are there. And within no time again, the weed comes up. Huh? So these are compared to the demoniac desire seeds that are lying dormant in the heart. If we don't get rid of them completely, then they sprout up again. So other religious processes, just like this Parashita, these are not sufficient for getting rid of the demoniac desire seeds that are there in the heart. Only the bhakti process, it is stated in the Nectar Devotion, can completely obliterate these demoniac tendencies, these demoniac seeds that are there in the heart. The bhakti process fries these seeds. If you take any seed of any plant and you fry it, it's not going to grow, no matter what you do with it after that. So the bhakti process is compared to that. It's compared to frying the demoniac desire seeds that are there in the heart of the living entity so that they have no chance of fructifying again. They won't come around to haunt us. Otherwise, any other process, just by restraining, just like Krishna says earlier in the Bhagavad Gita, Vishaya Vinavartante Nirahasideinam Rasovarjam Rasopasya Param Jishvanavartate. That the conditioned soul may be restricted from sense objects, although the tendency, the taste for those sense objects remains. But seizing such engagement by receiving a higher taste, one becomes fixed in consciousness. So if we want to be fixed in Krishna consciousness, we have to actively cultivate that higher taste, this bhakti rasa, this kirtan rasa. We have to actively cultivate this. It's not, you can't just do it passively. Yeah, passively maybe after millions of births, you know, it'll gradually. But Prabhupada said, in Kali Yuga especially, this bhakti process is compared to the blacksmith method. The goldsmith, he said, you know, they take gold and they take a little hammer and ting, 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 ting. Gradually, they shape some ornament. But in Kali Yuga, that doesn't work. We don't have long enough lives. So you need the bhakti method, which is take the wham, one big blow, finished. So we need to consciously do that every day. We need to pick up this bhakti anvil and wham, and beat the consciousness. Very hard. You can't just kind of float along and let it happen gradually. That's not going to work. You have to actively cultivate this method of bam, beating the mind hard. Because the mind can be, Krishna says, can be your best friend, can be your worst enemy. And because in Kali Yuga, again, the demon and the devotee is born in the same body, we have to actively cultivate getting rid of these demonic tendencies. So Krishna explains in the 16th chapter, what are those tendencies? So we have to know that. It's a very short chapter. What is it, 23 verses like that? But, you know, it's very, very important because we have to be able to identify these weeds, these demonic tendencies, to get rid of them. So Krishna starts out, pravartim cha nivartim cha. The first sign that you're on the, going down the wrong path is you don't know what you should do and what you should not do. And the demonic tendency when you're in that situation is, I'll figure it out. No, that doesn't work. If you were good at figuring things out, you would not have taken birth again in this material world. We're not good at figuring things out. We like to fool ourselves that we are. I'm very smart, I'm educated, I'm this, I'm that, I can figure it out. No. The divine tendency is, let me find somebody who can tell me what to do. That is the divine tendency. I'm in a situation, I don't know what to do. Let me find a senior person, let me find an experienced person, ask them, what should I do? That's the divine tendency. The demonic tendency is, leave me alone, I'll figure it out. No, that never works. That never works. You fool yourself. We fool ourselves that, yeah, I can figure it out. I'll get myself out of this situation. You got yourself in. What makes you think you're going to get yourself out? It doesn't work like that. When you're stuck in a deep, dark well, there's no figuring it out. There's no getting yourself out. And the best thing is, help! Help! How do you say help in Spanish? Yeah. So in every language, we know, help! Help! So that is the smart method. I'm in a situation, I'm stuck, it's dangerous, help! So bhakti, that's the mood of bhakti. Prabhupada said, yes, we're chanting Hare Krishna, but the mood has to be proper. The mood is, help! I'm like a helpless child, Krishna, Radharani, you're like my mother and father, let me cry, help, please help me. So if we can do that, then we can begin to go down the right path. Otherwise, if we foolishly think, again, that I'm educated, I'm smart, I'm experienced, I don't need any help. No. You see, Prabhupada set the example himself. Prabhupada didn't need our help. Krishna definitely doesn't need our help. Prabhupada didn't need our guidance. But still, whenever there was some point, something, different ways you could go, Prabhupada would call his senior disciples together and ask them, what do you think? Rameshwar Prabhu, what do you think? Bhavananda Maharaj, what do you think? Prabhupada would call his disciples Maharaj. Nowadays, we, is, you know, especially those who are God brothers of the sannyasis, they drop this formality. It's like, hey, how are you? What are you doing? Hari Bol. They don't bother calling Maharaj or Swami or no. But that's the Prabhupada didn't set that example. Not just because they're your God brother, you should become informal. The sannyasi is supposed to be the head of the Varnashram Dharma. So if somebody's a sannyasi, don't go and slap them on the back. This is not proper etiquette. We have to. This is another one of the demoniac tendencies. Is to try to make everything equal. We're all equal, Prabhu. You know, there's no high, there's no low. We're all equal. So I can slap you on the back and just call you by your name and forget the Maharaj. And no, this is demoniac tendency. The divine tendency is proper etiquette. What is the proper etiquette in this situation? Who's senior? Who's not senior? We don't like to think like that. We don't like to think like that because we want to make it all equal. This is demoniac. Because materially speaking, yes, spiritually speaking, everybody's equal. But materially, we're not. Materially, we're not. We're not equal. Nobody's the same strength as you, the same intelligence, the same. There's nothing the same materially, and it cannot make it so. You cannot make it so. No, despite all the gyms in LA, everybody working out, everybody's not equal strength. This, and again, the example I use, like to use in the colleges is wealth. Let's say wealth. Bob Marley, you know, you like to say everybody should be equal opportunity in terms of money, and it's not good if you're somebody's higher or lower like that, right? Let's make it all equal financially. You can't make it equal. It's not possible. If everybody in this room were to be given $10 million right now, come back in 1 year, would everybody be in the same situation? No. Because some people would foolishly throw away their bead bags and go to Vegas. And within like 1 month, it would all be gone. Another person, kind of miserly, they would just put it in the bank and take 3%. You know, another person would be extremely generous, and they would give, you know, to this charity, that charity, and somebody else would risky investments. Everybody would be different. So you come back in 1 year, it would not be the same. Somebody would have $20 million, somebody would have $1 million, somebody would have zero. They would be in debt. So you can't make things equal materially. Don't try. It's not possible. That's another demoniac attempt of the government, modern-day government. Yes, we want to give everybody, you know, two cars and a big house and this and that. You cannot do that. It doesn't work. It will never work. Prabhupada used to give the example of India. He said for so long, the you know, these sociologists, the socially inclined, social welfare, they want to make everybody equal. But you see, no matter how hard you try, there are always a class of men sleeping on the footpath, Prabhupada would say. Because it's their karma, and you can't change that. You can't change it. And even artificially you try to change it, like I said, if you give them a lot of money, come back in a few weeks, it's gone. Because it's their karma not to have money in this lifetime. So the devotee doesn't waste time trying to change the material situation. It's not possible. The devotee gives Krishna consciousness. That's another difference between the divine and the demoniac nature. The demoniac person always wants to promote themselves. You can see, you have experience. You go to somebody and all they talk about is, I did this, I did that, I'm planning to do this, I did that, I. And a devotee, you meet them on the sidewalk at the airport, and immediately, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. That's all they want to talk about. Well, what about you? It's all right. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. That's the devotee consciousness. That's the divine consciousness. So it's stated earlier in this canto, in the 18th chapter, Yasyasi Bhaktir Bhagavati Kinshana. Sarvai Gunai Statar Samasite Sura. Harab Abhaktasya Kuto Mahadguna. Mano Retainasito Dhavato Vahi. That the demigods, not just the divine qualities, the demigods and all their divine qualities become manifest in the personality of a devotee who is 100% sold out to Krishna. Pure devotee, in other words. When you become a pure devotee, all of those good qualities of the demigods will come manifest. And how is that possible? How is it possible? Because they're already there. As living entities, we are actually completely pure. And everything, all the good qualities are there within the heart of every living entity. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai. Not just love for Krishna, but all the good qualities. They're already there within all of us. So it's just a matter of cultivation. If we cultivate the divine, we reveal our divine nature. And if we become or remain attracted to the external energy, Bahir, if we remain attracted to Krishna's external energy, then of course we're going to manifest the demoniac tendencies. Prabhatim cha nirvatim cha jana sukita asura. Na satyam teshu vidyate. Na shocham na pichachara na satyam teshu vidyate. Na shocham, that's another indication, cleanliness. If one remains unclean, internally and externally, that's demoniac. So indication for the devotee is try your best to be clean internally and externally. Externally by taking bath at least twice in a day. And internally by cultivating this Krishna consciousness, by chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. In Kali Yuga, we are supremely dirty. The atmosphere is dirty. Mentality of the people in general are dirty. Even people who are friendly, they're dirty. You make friends with the wrong personality and before you know it. Prabhupada said, this is called accidental fall down. You have a demoniac tendency and you meet some old friends and before you know it, you do something bad. That's accidental. But if one meditates on these demoniac things, if we meditate on bad things, then the fall down will not be accidental. That's going to be what you deserve. So we have to be very, very careful. Our first business in Kali Yuga as aspiring devotees is to guard our own consciousness. But unfortunately, we exhibit another demoniac tendency, which is to always look out for everybody else's consciousness. I see what you're doing, and I'm ready to tell everybody else what you're doing, and I know what you're planning to do, and because I know you, I can tell people what I think you're going to do 2 years from now. We become so absorbed in other people, and we don't look at ourselves. So our first responsibility is to guard your own consciousness. In other words, put a fence around your own Krishna consciousness and guard it. And then when you're very practiced at doing that, then you can assist others in going forward in their own Krishna consciousness. If we don't do that, then it's a farce to go out and try to help other people. Like I've told this story several times, I always like to ask devotees how they came to Krishna consciousness. So once in New York, I asked a young devotee how he came. So he told me, you know, he had grown up in New York City. He was like Hispanic background. And he had friends, and you know, but he was always searching. So he got a book from a devotee, and he became attracted to Krishna consciousness. At that point, he'd been into some really heavy stuff, you know, heroin and stuff. But by becoming attracted to Krishna consciousness, all those bad habits fell away. But before he came to the temple, he had told one of his closest friends that, you know, I've got this Hare Krishna book, and I'm attracted. And the friend said, no, there's a call. Don't get into it. And so they got into this big argument. They're walking down Broadway in New York, arguing back and forth. He's saying, no, they're really good people. I like them. No, they're a cult. So they pass this newsstand. If you've been in Manhattan, you know, almost every corner has a newsstand. They sell newspapers, magazines, this, that. So the guy who was selling the newspapers, he jumped out. Big guy. He said it was big black body guy. He jumped out. He said, shut up. He's right. The Hare Krishnas are good. So he had been a devotee himself, but he blooped. But still, he was fixed up that the Hare Krishnas are okay. So we have to guard our own consciousness. We have to really, really take shelter of this Krishna consciousness movement. We have to realize that this is it doesn't get any better than this. It's not that you're going to find anything better out there. Money is not going to help us. It's not going to make us any happier. None of these things are going to work. Just Krishna consciousness. So, again, guard against the demoniac tendencies. Amplify the divine tendencies by following strictly Srila Prabhupada's recommendations. Almost on every single page of his books, Prabhupada tells us what to do. Just do it. Just do it. And everything will be all right. So we can stop here. It was kind of an impromptu class. Vijay was scheduled, so I didn't know until like 5 minutes ago that I was going to speak. So anyway, any questions, comments? Yes. Prem Sankirtan Prabhu.
Yeah, just maybe 3 days ago or 4 days ago, I get a email message from one black body guy, and he told me I met him probably 2 months ago in an airport, and I gave him two books, I think JSD and SSR, and he said, you know, according to your class, you know, all materialist people, he's materialistic people, he has bad quality, unfortunately, he don't know. But he told me, this book is so shooting. Soothing.
Soothing.
And yeah. Cooling. Yeah. Anyway, I'm still in contact with him, you know, you see?
Yeah.
So he got good quality from those books. You know.
Soothing and cooling, that's a fact. We're burning. Sangsara Dhamanalalita Loka. We're burning in this material world. Some people are so far gone, so crisp, they don't even realize they're burning. Or they're lazy, they can't be bothered to do anything about it. Like Prabhupada gave the example, in one kingdom, all the citizens became so lazy. And the king was asking his ministers, what to do? I mean, everybody's so lazy, nothing gets accomplished here. So the minister gave some suggestion. He said, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to put on a big festival, put up these big tent, and invite everybody in the country to come and eat for free. So they did that. Everybody came, nice prasadam, so everybody's eating. And then they set the tent on fire. And everybody got up, obviously, you know, to save themselves and ran away, except for two guys. They were so lazy. They wouldn't get up. So the fire was getting closer and closer. So one guy said to the other guy, hey, I'm getting kind of warm. He said, don't worry, just turn the other side. So we're very lazy in Kali Yuga. Even though we're burning, we're feeling the heat, we won't do anything about it. All right, one more and then we can stop. Satchitananda.
In the At the beginning of your class, you mentioned one key word that struck me, and was Kirtan Ras, you mentioned. And then you were also mentioning about those people that were not equally. If somebody gives you money, you come later, you will miss. Nobody will have the same amount of something. So I was thinking that taking the opportunity of mentioning the word Kirtan Ras, that is, this is the biggest treasure. And here in New Dwarka, we're working on and traditionally keeping the Harinam Sankirtan going. So we have it Friday and Saturday. And since many devotees who... Wednesday
also.
But many devotees might be already engaged and they might be willing to go. They cannot go. But we had many devotees who are listening on the internet who might live nearby. So please come to the Harinam Sankirtan. And this is a well that can never be taken away. And it's equally distributed.
Yeah.
And everybody has the opportunity to participate. And you'll be happy. So we're
Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Yeah.
Harinam Sankirtan ki.
It's also the dividing line. At least I found in my own experience in Krishna consciousness, and many other devotees can verify, that this is when you start identifying with the divine, with Krishna, when you go out on the Harinam. Especially in New York in those days, in the 70s, early 70s, you know, when you went out on the Harinam, you were sometimes risking your life because people were very demoniac and very anti-Krishna consciousness. Where we lived in Henry Street, the neighbors were against us. They once actually attacked the temple. They were throwing rocks and stuff, and the boys were, you know, a little heavy themselves. They were throwing hot ghee and, So when you go out on Harinam, you're declaring, that I am now trying to separate myself from this demoniac society. I want to be part of this divine society. So going on Harinam, especially when you first join, is extremely, extremely important to do that. Go out, because you start identifying with the devotees and disassociating yourself with the non-devotees.
Another observation was that, for example, in London, most of the Harinam participants, they live outside, most of them. So they made a party of 70 or 80 devotees. And I was looking at the ones living in the temple, a few of them, but most of them were from outside.
Yeah, what could be done is you could make a nice Harinam flyer and give it to all the guests that come. Make a nice invitation, give it to all the guests on Sunday, all the festivals. These are the best times to attract people. Okay. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.